God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're going through a sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, as Paul writes to us, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." This is our text. Today we are looking at the word goodness. The best way I can probably illustrate goodness, I'll try my best, I should say, is taking an example from my life. Some of you know that being raised on the north side of Chicago, I'm a Cubs fan. And of course, this year, it seems like it is a good year for us Cubs fans. It seems like the Cubs are still somewhat hanging on to first place. Now, I would probably say, yes, the Cubs are a good baseball team. Some of you would probably disagree with me, because I know that there are some of you who actually might be White Sox fans and are probably very happy that, yes, the White Sox also just recently beat the Cubs very nicely on the south side of Chicago. So we have a little bit of this tension. Who determines what is good and what is bad? You would say the White Sox, or some of you would say the White Sox are good, and I would say the Cubs are good. But the interesting parallel to this is that even when the Cubs are not in first place, even when it seems like they're at the bottom of the barrel, us silly Cub fans still say that the Cubs are good. We still flock to Wrigley Field and fill it up even if the Cubs are in the last place. Of course, White Sox fans just look at us and say, "You Cub fans are just strange." But let me use that as an illustration for how God looks at us as good. You see, from God's point of view, when he's going to use the term good, good represents something that is perfect, something that is holy. And you might be thinking, there's no way the Cubs are perfect. They haven't even won or gone to the World Series in over a century. And I will agree with that. But let me continue on with my analogy. If I use God's definition of good, can anything in this world ever be good? Sure, God created the heavens and the earth. At one time, the earth and Adam and Eve were considered to be very good by God's sight, without any sin, without any blemish, perfect and holy. But once Adam and Eve sinned, God's creation and Adam and Eve were now affected with this sin, and as a result, they are no longer considered good, at least by God's standards. They are no longer considered holy, they are no longer considered perfect. Sin had entered God's creation. So the only thing that really can be considered good, again by God's standards, is God himself. Jesus even brings this up in Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, in which Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." Jesus speaks. So Jesus even correctly notes that there's only one person who is really good, and that is God. So if we were in the business of slapping labels upon things, good and bad, at this moment in our life, we better start printing up a lot of bad labels and no good labels, because only God is good. However, I'm not going to leave you there, at least not at the moment, because what does God do with his goodness? We look to the cross of Jesus and we see our Savior dying on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, something that is preached here every single week. But within that forgiveness is also a restoration of God's creation, a restoration of you and me. And because we have been baptized into Christ, we now bear the name of Christ. So when we were brought to that baptismal font and water placed upon us in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have been given a new name, and that new name is Christ. Now, if Christ God is the only one who is holy, and you now bear that name, we need to stop the printing presses. Instead of printing all these bad labels, we need to start printing some good labels. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ and bear the name of Christ. And there's only one name that is good, and that is Christ. So you now bear a good label. But some of you may be sitting there and thinking, no, wait a minute, Pastor. How can I bear a good label, but yet I still sin? I still fall short of God's glory. There are some times in my life I make mistakes, and so I don't feel very good about myself. Well, that may be true. Yes, you may sin and you may fall short of God's glory and you may not feel very good about yourself. But did you undo your baptism? Did you get unbaptized, so to speak? No, actually, there is a way of getting unbaptized, so to speak, and that is to reject the gift that God has given you. Have you said no to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and pushed Him completely out of your life? If you have, you probably wouldn't be here. Unless, of course, someone tied you up and brought you and dragged you without your will. So the fact that you are here, that you are wanting to hear God's word, basically says, no matter how much you have screwed up your life, how many sins and how many mistakes you have made, that good label that God has given you through baptism is still there. You are sons and daughters of God. You bear that name, good. Now let's take God's understanding of good and bad and relate it to our lives. You see, God has one way of slapping on labels, good and bad. You are in Christ, you are considered good. You are outside of Christ, you're not good. How about our definitions of good and bad? Again, as I started off by saying some of you might be White Sox fans, and you might say, okay, Pastor Ballo, your choice of baseball teams is a bad choice. Well, now we understand that us as human beings, we can be very subjective. It may depend on what side of Chicago we grew up on, or what our parents made us watch TV, which was baseball game, or we may even hate baseball altogether. Don't worry, there is forgiveness. Okay, getting back to good here. Good and bad is very subjective amongst us as human beings. And we may even change our mind during the course of a day. We may begin the day and call something good, and then something changes and we now call it bad, or vice versa. We sometimes can be very fickle about using our labels of good and bad. But there's one thing that seems like we just don't do. We never take a look at a situation and slap both a good label and a bad label on it at the same time. At least we're pretty consistent in that. And so when we hear God sitting there saying, I'm going to slap you with the good label of Jesus Christ because of your baptism, and yet still see us as Christians and as human beings as sinners, and society almost wants to slap the bad label on us, we get a little bent out of shape. Likewise, we also have a hard time in dealing with this with our fellow human beings. How many times have we thought in the back of our mind that, you know, the church is holy. This is where God is at. People who come and gather the church, these are good people. Okay, we got the baptism part all right. But what happens when us good people actually sin? And we do so in connection with church activities. Could that possibly happen? You better believe it. Because while we're still this side of heaven, even though we have been baptized into Christ, we bear the name of Christ, which is good, we still have the flesh. That flesh that was talked about in our epistle reading for today. That flesh that is still inclined to evil. We still have that sinful nature within us. And so within us, we still have like sort of two sides to us. The spirit side that says, let's go ahead and do good. and our human fleshly side that says, let's do evil. So can Christians, as we gather and we have church functions, sin and offend other Christians? I would be naive to say after about 16 years in the ministry, I have never seen this occur. I have seen this occur. Does this surprise me? The answer is no. Because we are saint, meaning we are good by God's definition, and we are sinner, meaning we still sin and fall short of God's glory at the same time. Martin Luther brings this up and reminds us as Christians, we have that daily struggle. Every day we need to remind ourselves that yes, we've been baptized. God has slapped a good label on us. And every day we need to remind ourselves as we wake up, we begin a new day in a world filled with sin, needing God's strength to remain close to Him and His word in the midst of this world that we live in. Nothing in this world deserves to be called good, Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 7, except those that are attached to Jesus Christ. So as Christians living in this world, there's going to be a struggle within us. The struggle of hanging on to that which is good that God has given to us. And a struggle with trying to resist the temptation of the world around us, which is not necessarily good. How do we deal with that struggle? By remaining attached to Christ. And as we are attached to Christ, now as our epistle for today brings up from Romans chapter 7, we are reminded that yes, good fruit will flow from us. How can anything I do ever consider to be good? Well, if it's done because I am attached in Christ, it is good. So all the works of a Christian is good. God can work that good through you. Again, this is nothing that you come up from within yourselves, as our epistle reading reminds us. The epistle reading reminds us that, yes, we are sinners. Our flesh is sin. We need the goodness that God gives to us through Christ to flow through us to other people. As a result, you can bear good fruit. Not that you are doing it, but Christ, who is working through you, does it. As Christians, we need to realize this will happen. It's not something we can force to happen, because we're not in control. We can't do it. If we were going to force something to happen, we would naturally bear our original sinful nature fruit, that which is bad. But since we are attached to Christ, and the more that we are attached to Christ and we grow in Christ and hear God's word, receive His sacrament, realize what baptism has done to us, the more we see need in our community around us, and that love of Christ grows within us, the more we are going to bear good fruit. Again, our world may not see it that way. Our world may look at us and say, well, Christians, yes, you are good. But then there is also other good people in this world. There are other people who also donate to various charities, who donate to hospitals, and you can see the names on whatever wing of the hospital you're going to, or whatever hall you're at any type of college or university. Our society will say, those people are good. Look at how they are giving of themselves to the world around. And the world applauds them for being good. But notice that isn't God's definition. God's definition is basically, are you attached to Christ? Then you are good. Fair enough, you also may be attached to Christ and contribute large sums of money to various organizations and they name halls or rooms after you. Fair enough. You are in Christ. That's what makes you good. Society's definition is, well, how much are you going to give? We'll attach your name to it and then you're good. God's definition is, no, I attach my name to you, and I make you good. There's a difference. The difference is, who's the subject and who's the object? In God's definition, God is always the one who is the active agent. He is the one that is doing and making you good. In our worldview, it's you become the active agent, and you are doing good. So this day, as we learn a little bit more about what goodness is as a fruit of the Spirit, we realize this doesn't come from within us. It comes from God through us to bear fruit in this world that still gets a little confused about good and bad labels. So this day we ask the Holy Spirit to continue to guide our path, our actions, so that we will continue to bear good fruit. We ask the Holy Spirit to continue to draw us back to Christ, where His Word and sacraments are administered, so that we can continue to grow in this faith. And we ask the Holy Spirit to open up wonderful avenues of opportunity for us to bear good fruit in a world that has a different definition of what good is all about and is starving to hear the goodness that comes from Christ and Christ alone. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.